In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. And we left off yesterday where the king or the Pharaoh had a dream, and the cupbearer is going to witness to the Pharaoh about Joseph. There was there a young man, a Hebrew, that's for chapter 41, 12. He was a Hebrew, servant to the same captain of the soldiers to whom we told our dreams. And we heard what afterwards the event of the thing proved just to be so. For I was restored to my office, even as he told me, and the other one was hanged upon a gibbet. Forthright at the king's command, Joseph was brought out of the prison, and they shaved him, changing his apparel, brought him in to the Pharaoh. So they're going to make him look good. They're not going to let him look like a prisoner. And he said to him, "I have dreamed dreams, and there is no one that can expound on them. Now I have heard that you are very wise at interpreting dreams. You are very wise." And Joseph answered, "Without me, God shall give Pharaoh a prosperous answer." In other words, Joseph knows that his dreams are from the Lord and that his interpretations are from the Lord. And it goes on to say, "So Pharaoh told what he had dreamed. I thought I stood upon the bank of a river, and seven cows came up out of the river, exceedingly beautiful and full of flesh, and they grazed on green places in a marshy pasture. And behold, there followed these seven cows, so very ill-favored and lean, and I never saw the like of these cows in the land of Egypt. And they devoured and consumed the big cows, and yet gave no mark of their being full. But there, as lean and ill-favored as before, I awoke and then fell asleep again." So he had a dream, and he had a dream of seven big, beautiful cows. But then there was another part of the dream was seven skinny little cows, and they devoured the big cows. That's the dream. And we're going to see what he says as to what is the interpretation. "And they devoured and consumed the big cows, and yet gave no mark of their being full. But there were lean and ill-favored as before. I awoke from the dream, and seven ears of corn grew upon one stalk, full and very fair. There was another seven, also thin and blasted, sprung from the stalk, and they devoured the beauty of the beautiful corns. And I told this dream to my people, and there is no man that can expound upon it." Joseph answered, "The king's dream is one. God has showed the Pharaoh what is about to happen and what he is about to do. The seven beautiful cows and the seven full ears are 7 years of plenty. Both contain the same meaning of the dream. The seven lean cows and the seven lean stalks, corns, came after them, and they were blasted with the burning wind, and 7 years of famine to come, which shall be fulfilled in this order. Behold, there shall come 7 years of great plenty in the land of Egypt, and after which will follow 7 years of great scarcity, that all the abundance before shall be forgotten, for the famine shall consume all the land." So this is a prophetic warning that God doesn't do anything without telling his prophets. This is a warning to Pharaoh and to Egypt that for 7 years you're going to have plenty of food, plenty, plenty, plenty. And you're going to have to save some of that food for the 7 years of famine. You have to save them, put them in silos for the 7 years of famine. And the greatness of the scarcity shall destroy the greatness of the plenty. And for that thou didst see the second time a dream pertaining to the same thing. It is a token of the certainty that the word of God will come to pass, and it will be fulfilled speedily. Now therefore let the king provide a wise and industrious man, and make him ruler over the land of Egypt, that he may appoint overseers over all countries, and gather into barns the fifth part of the fruits during seven fruitful years that shall now presently ensue, and let all the corn be laid up under Pharaoh's hands and reserved in the cities. In other words, you know what? Find someone that's going to be industrious, that's going to save the land, that's going to save Egypt. Find someone. Find someone. And who do you think the someone's going to be? It's going to be the one who interpreted the dream. Because the anointing is on Joseph. The favor of God is on Joseph. We have to know that, that the favor of God is on Joseph. And even in prison, the favor of God was on him, even though he had to suffer much. He had to suffer much, but the favor of God was on Joseph. You see, I want to tell you this, that the favor of God on his children, the favor of God is on you. The favor of God is on me. Even if we don't feel that favor. Yesterday I received a letter from a seminarian who's going to be ordained a priest, and it told me that at one time I prayed over him and gave a prophetic word, and it really opened his life up in the seminary. It opened his life up. Now, I don't remember the word I spoke to him. I don't remember that. If I told you I know it, I'd be a liar. It was just came for me, to him, came through me for him. And that word really caused him to persevere. And I'm telling you today, people, persevere. Don't quit. Even if you feel like quitting, persevere. I feel like quitting sometimes. Sometimes I say, I'm going to quit, but where am I going to go if I quit? You see, there to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of everlasting life. Now, therefore, let the king provide a wise and industrious man, and make him ruler over the land of Egypt, that he may appoint overseers for the countries, and gather into barns a fifth part of the fruits during the seven fruitful years that shall now presently ensue, and let all the corn be laid up under Pharaoh's hands and be reserved in the cities, and let it be in readiness against the famine of 7 years to come, which shall oppress Egypt, and to the land shall not be consumed with scarcity. The counsel pleased the Pharaoh and all his servants, and he said to them, can we find such another man that is full of the Spirit of God? Even the pagan Pharaoh realizes that Joseph is filled with the Spirit of God. You know, this is a pagan. You're talking about a pagan. And they might have had worship for the Pharaoh at that time. But even Pharaoh realized that the Spirit of God was upon Joseph. And he realized it. You know, I'm going to tell you, I've seen the Spirit of God on people, and many priests don't recognize the Spirit of God when it's on a certain person. Maybe they might have a dislike for the person, but the Spirit of God is upon that person. I'm telling you, the king, being a pagan, realized that the Spirit of God was upon Joseph. The council pleased Pharaoh and all his servants, and he said to them, can we find such a man that is full of the Spirit of God? He said, therefore, to Joseph, seeing God has shown you all that he has said, can I find one wiser and one like you? Thou shalt be over my house, and at the commandment of your mouth all the people shall obey. Okay, only in the kingly throne will I be above thee. So he gave Joseph the ability to really reign over Egypt. The only place that he wasn't going to reign over was when the king spoke from the throne. Joseph, the man that was filled with the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you, it didn't happen all at once. He was in two jails, wrongly accused. Two jails, wrongly accused. Yet God was with Joseph even in the jails. And he used the jail time to prosper Joseph in the interpretation of dreams. I tell you, you might be going through a very difficult time, and I'm telling you, it's not fun to go through a difficult time, but you listen to me. It has an end. It has an end. It has an end, and the Lord will show himself to be faithful to you, and the Lord will show himself to be faithful to me. It has an end. And again, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Behold, I have appointed thee over the whole land of Egypt." And he took his ring from his own hand and gave it to Joseph. And he put him in a robe of silk and put a chain of gold around his neck. And he made him go up into the second chariot and cry out, proclaiming that all should bow their knee before him and that they should know he was made governor over the whole land of Egypt. Imagine. Imagine. This is God at work. This is God. You know, Joseph could have said while he was in prison, "No more. This is too much for me. I did nothing wrong. I didn't seduce Potiphar's wife. What good is it for me to be in this position? It's not fair. It's not good. I'm alone. I'm not going to play this game anymore." But you see, because he was faithful, and obedient to God, God chose Joseph to rule over Egypt. That's wonderful. That's what God knows how to do that. He can take someone like that's a nobody and raise that nobody up in the presence of God if that nobody is filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, it all has to do with being filled with the Holy Spirit. I was with some scholars a couple of nights ago, and it was very interesting. Their talks were very interesting. I wasn't very agreeable to them, but they were very interesting. And I kept on witnessing to Jesus. I kept on telling what Jesus was doing. I kept on telling them stories. So when I got a chance, you know, my voice was a little shaky when I did it, you know, because I was shaky. I'm in the presence of all these great scholars. What scholar am I? You know, I went to Salem State. Believe me, I'm no scholar, but I'm going to tell you this. The Spirit of God dwells within me, even when I feel rotten. The Spirit of God dwells within me, even when I feel like I can't go another step. The Spirit of God dwells within you. And you know what? God is going to use you. You just need to stick with it. Okay. And the king said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh. Without your commandment, no man shall move hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." And he turned his name and called him in the Egyptian tongue, "The Savior of the World." But you know, Joseph knows who the Savior of the world is. And he gave him to a wife, Aseneth, the daughter of Putpari, priest of Helipopolis. Then Joseph went out to the land of Egypt. Now he was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, and he went round all the countries of Egypt, and the fruitfulness of the 7 years came, and the corn, being bound up into sheaves, was gathered together into the barns of Egypt, and all the abundance of grain was laid up in every city. So we see that the prophetic word that Joseph said is being fulfilled. These are the 7 years of plenty. When God speaks a word, he knows how to fulfill that word. Joseph was just the man filled with the Holy Ghost that would tell the people what they had to do during the years of abundance. And all the abundance of grain was laid up in every city. And there was so great abundance of wheat that it was equal to the sand of the sea, and plenty exceeded measure. And before the famine came, Joseph had two sons born, whom Aseneth, the daughter of Putpare, priest of Heliopolis, bore unto him. And he called the name of the first Manasses, saying, God hath made me to forget all my labors and my father's house. And he named the second Ephraim, saying, God hath made me grow in the land of my poverty. Let me tell you this, God works all things together for the good to those who love him. Joseph was not alone in prison. God was with him. It's like the three men in the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, and there was a fourth man like a son of man. Jesus was there with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. And I love that story because you know why? Not even their clothes were singed with fire. And if you know anyone that's been in a fire, it smells of that terrible fire. It's awful. It's got a foreboding smell. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they would not worship the golden idol. And God was with them in the fiery furnace. Let me tell you, God is with you in the fiery furnace. God is with me in the fiery furnace. God is with you even if you're in jail right now. Maybe you're in jail because you did a terrible thing. I tell you, God is a forgiver of our sins. Jesus forgives our sins, and he can use you in that jail like nobody's business because you are his and he is yours. You only have to surrender your life to him. Surrender your life to Jesus, and God will use you. He will use you just like he used Joseph. But you need to give your life to Jesus and need to go to confession and tell the Lord your wrongs and tell the Lord your sins and ask the Lord to just save you and fill you with the Holy Spirit. And all the abundance of grain was laid up in every city, and there was so great abundance of wheat that it was equal to the sand of the sea, my heavens, and the plenty exceeded measure. And before the famine came, Joseph had two sons. I already read that. And the 7 years of scarcity which Joseph had foretold began to come, and the famine prevailed in the whole world, but there was bread in all the land of Egypt. And then there also began to be famished. The people cried to Pharaoh for food, and he said to them, go to Joseph and do all that he shall say to you. Go to Joseph. Ite ad Joseph. Go to Joseph. Joseph from the Old Testament. Go to Joseph. Even the Pharaoh realized that Joseph had an anointing. He probably wouldn't say he's got an anointing. He'd say, you know, the Spirit of God is upon him. And that's just the truth. Anointing, Spirit of God is upon him. It's all the same. He was God's man that was saving Egypt, and not only saving Egypt, but saving the world, because there was a world famine at this time. A world famine at this time. And the famine increased daily in all the land. And Joseph opened up all the barns and sold to the Egyptians, for the famine had oppressed them also. And all provinces came into Egypt to buy food and to seek some relief from their want. Do you see? Do you see that God used Joseph? God used Joseph, used him mightily to save Egypt and ultimately to save Israel. We know the story. And if God can use Joseph, he can use you. He can use me. But you've got to be obedient like Abraham. Abraham was obedient that he offered his son Isaac to God, but God did not want Isaac. He provided a ram in the thicket. But I tell you, if we just give up everything that we are and everything that we have, that the Lord would rule in our life, we would see wonders happening. We would see God moving in powerful ways. We would see that God works all things for good to those who love him. All things for good. And Joseph, chapter 42. And Jacob, that's Joseph's father, hearing that food was sold in Egypt, said to his sons, why are you so careless? I have heard that wheat is sold in Egypt. Go down and buy us the necessities that we may live and not be consumed with want, remember his first dream, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars all bow down to Joseph. Remember that. Oh, that prophetic dream is being fulfilled now in its inception. So 10 brothers of Joseph went down to buy corn in Egypt, while Benjamin, the youngest, was kept at home by Jacob, who said to his brethren, lest perhaps he take any harm in the journey. And they entered into the land of Egypt with others that went to buy, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. Yes, you see, the famine was not only for Egypt, the famine was in the land of Canaan, in the land that God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob sent 10 of his sons to Egypt to get some wheat so that they wouldn't starve to death, to buy some food so that they could live. Remember that the wheat was as number as the grains of sand. That's a way of saying there was plenty, 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 plenty of it. And Joseph was governor in the land of Egypt, and corn was sold by the direction to the people. And when his brethren had bowed down to him, and he knew them, he spoke as it were strangers, somewhat roughly asking them, where do you come from? They answered, from the land of Canaan, to buy necessities for life. And though he knew his brethren, he was not known by them. They didn't recognize Joseph. I'm going to tell you, they didn't recognize Joseph when he had the prophetic dream. Now they still don't recognize Joseph when he is being the provider of food for all the world. They do not recognize Joseph. I tell you, it is impossible. It is very possible for us not to recognize people in our congregation who have been anointed with the Holy Spirit. It is very possible that we do not recognize them because they don't talk right, or they don't sing well, or they don't do this good. I tell you, it is time for God's church to recognize where the anointing of God is, because where that anointing is, there the Lord is. And that anointing might be on the least of the people that we consider the least. But you see, that anointing is real. That anointing is real. And the Lord would want us to recognize that anointing. But most of the time, just like Joseph's brothers, we don't recognize the anointed one. The anointed one is Jesus, but he anoints people to do his will and to do his bidding. And I'm telling you, you might be that person, because God has something for you and something through you. Don't be so selfish just to think it is for me, but something for you and something through you. God wants to use you in a mighty way. Jesus wants to use you in a mighty way. You have been through the tortures of the dam, but God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit have always been with you, and he will never fail you. He is God Almighty. He loves you, and he will not work only in you and for you, but through you. That's a very important thing, that this God works through us, not only in us, not only for us, but through us. I tell you that God the Father, through his merciful Son, Jesus Christ, wants to use you prophetically, wants to use you in power. You just need to be obedient. Obedary means to come to listen to what the Lord is saying. Obedary. You must listen to the Lord. And it might start with very small steps, but if you are faithful in the small steps, he will give big steps for you. That's why money is really important, because Jesus says, if you are faithful with filthy lucre, I can trust you with people. If you are not faithful with money, I cannot trust you with people. People are what I'm caring about, not dirty green pieces of paper with dead presidents on them. But if you are not faithful with money, how can I give you people to help? Money is nothing. It's not worth anything. And in the years to come, it's not going to be worth anything more. But money is a very important thing. It is a diving board into the greater. If we are faithful with money, that means we tithe our money to begin with, God will be faithful in sending people to us. But you see, I cannot convince you of that. You're just so happy to put a dollar in the box or $5 in the box, and you just say, yeah, Father Tom is at it again. But I'm telling you, it just doesn't work unless we are faithful with the little things. He's not going to be faithful with big things. And big things for God and for Jesus happen to be with people. People, people, people. People, people, people. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the word of God. I do need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills and you can help us. Don't think someone else is going to help us. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. We are also on PayPal. You can get to PayPal by going to inseason.net, www.inseason.net. And on that site, you'll find many talks and you'll find many television programs, and it's all for free. www.inseason.net, www.inseason.net. PayPal is there, and many talks and many television programs. Praise the Lord today. Be faithful in little things, and He will set you over greater things. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.